So this morning, y'all, we're going to continue in our sermon series, Lessons from the Resurrection. And so what we've been doing the last several weeks, we've been looking at lessons that surround the resurrection story, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in hopes that we may glean from some of these stories some important lessons that can help us live out the resurrected life, an abundant life. Because Jesus died for us, we give our lives to him, but we can live a life of victory. So we simply look at some of these stories surrounding the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. If some of you remember last week, we parked at John chapter 20. And we talked about when life causes you to doubt. We looked at that character in the Bible that most people know as he's been deemed Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. I think it's the wrong tag. I think he was a courageous guy. Here's a guy that was ready to go to Jerusalem and die for Jesus. But we see a disappointed Thomas too in the text, John chapter 20. He's disappointed because Jesus has died. He's the Messiah, the one that was supposed to tear up the Roman world. He died. And so he's disappointment, and disappointment can bring doubt. But here's the good news. Jesus is not afraid of your doubt. He wasn't afraid of Thomas's. That he shows up on that day and he shows Thomas his nail-scarred hands. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. That Thomas believes that he is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But those nail prints, the nails, y'all, they spoke. The very things that bring about doubt can become the foundation of our faith. It was the nail prints in his hands that caused Thomas to believe. Can the pain points in your life that bring you doubt also bring you to the place where you depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ and deepen your faith? So this morning, y'all, go with me to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 57 through 66. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 66. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible again. It says this. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to Pilate. They told him, sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body, and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. Pilate said, take guards and secure it the best you can. So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, when life goes silent. When life goes silent. So as you can see, y'all, I've got this wooden box in front of me. It's a good-looking box. So it's a wooden box, but you can't see what's inside. You don't know what's in it. As we sit here, the box is silent in a sense. We wonder what's inside of it. We don't know. If you look at the box, you'll know there's a lock on the box. So the box is sealed. That it's sealed. It's silent. For all of us, it causes us to question what's inside the box. But has your life ever seemed like a sealed box? That you can't hear anything. No voices from God. No voices from heaven. You can't seem to find your way. That everything around you seems locked up and it seems locked down. And it's almost as if your world simply comes to a stop. It's in these moments, y'all, that we're faced with fears and frustration and questions, and darkness creeps in. And in that moment, it's as if everything goes silent. In our text for today, we see this burst of preparation for Jesus' burial before the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a day of rest. Sundown Friday to nightfall on Saturday. So we see this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He steps out of the shadows. Then he wraps the body of Jesus with linen cloth. He lays him in a borrowed tomb, a tomb that he bought for himself, a tomb near the cross. And he rolls a huge rock over the entrance of the tomb. So the next day we see the leading priests, the Pharisees, they go to Pilate and say, "Pilate, listen, do something about this man." So they seal the tomb and post guards around it, lest he come back from the grave. It's interesting to me. It seems like Pilate and his crew had more faith in the resurrection of Jesus than a whole lot of folk in that time. But they posted the guards to protect it, lest Jesus come back from the dead. But in the text, Jesus is in fact dead. Y'all, he's lying in a tomb with a stone over the front. That it is sealed. Sealed meaning that perhaps the Pilate took a signet ring, put it on a rope, and stretched it across this big stone. And so it had imperial authority that you could not touch this tomb. You could not open, you could not roll this stone away. And he posted guards around it. So we see this physical kind of way of closing up the tomb. But we also see this political way because it was sealed by Roman authority. And we see the military power that the guards were placed around the tomb. Everything was shut down. Everything was sealed. Everything stops. And then, if you're listening, there's just a profound silence that begins. Some people call this day Holy Saturday. Some refer to it as Black Saturday. But this morning, I refer to it like a whole lot of commentators, and it's Silent Saturday. That all of us are perhaps familiar with what we call Passion Week. We see triumph on Palm Sunday as Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they cry out, "Hosanna in the highest!" They give praise to his name. But then we get to the tragedy of Good Friday, where they said, "Hang him, put him on the cross." And they put him on the cross and he died. He died for you and for me, but he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he rose with all power. So then we see the victory of Resurrection Sunday. Jesus got up, y'all, he got up from the grave. But what about Saturday? Don't you find that amazing? 3 days. Wouldn't it have been good if Jesus could have just died and got right back up? 3 days. What about that day in between? What about the middle day? What about the days in between in our lives? Sometimes we don't like the in-between days. Yeah. In between jobs. In between sickness and being whole again. In between relationships that failed us and looking for a better relationship. We don't like the in-between days all the time. We spend that time waiting, wondering, what's inside? What's at the next turn? What will come out of my life? We don't like the in-between day when life seems locked down and we're locked out. We pray, but heaven is quiet. We wait and we wait and we wait, but nothing changes. We believe, but the situation simply does not change. Friday was crucifixion. Sunday was the day of resurrection. But Saturday was the day of silence. I believe somebody here today knows about Saturday seasons in your life when nothing is changing. Everything seems to stay the same. But what do you do when God is silent? We've been there before, for real. When you're crying and you're praying out to God, but you get no answers. You search the scriptures, but nothing seems to fit you. You come to church and you're looking for a right now or a rhema word, an in-season word, but you don't get it. It seems like God is silent in your situation. What do you do? How do you remain faithful in silent seasons? How do you lean in on wisdom and sight in a world that says it's got to be noisy, it's always action, it's always moving? How do you stop on Silent Saturday And so many skip from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday. And we don't want to deal with the in-between in the middle. But I believe this story can help us, y'all. It can help us in several ways. Know this first, that silent time can be a time of waiting and resting. Again, Jesus is in the grave. That he's silent. He's not speaking. On Friday he was speaking. He was hanging on the cross. We get the seven last words of Jesus hanging from the cross. He was speaking. It was a speaking Jesus. On Sunday when he gets up from the grave that we hear Jesus speaking, he's speaking to Mary and Martha, and he speaks to his disciples. But on Saturday, he's silent. So it's the Sabbath, y'all. It's the day of rest. These religious leaders, they're excited because this guy that had this God complex, he's now dead. So they're happy. So they can go to their home and they can rest. The disciples are behind closed doors. They're shivering in the shadows for their lives. But for them, it's also a time of waiting and resting. It's a time to process the situation, to process the truth that Jesus had actually died. The one that they thought would conquer the Roman Empire, that he was now dead. They had to process it, y'all. It had to marinate. They had to sit in that moment. It was a time for them to grieve. It was a time to reflect. It was a time for them to regain their footing and their focus. I like what Luke chapter 23, verses 55 through 56 say. And it talks about this burial and resurrection in two simple lines. It simply says this. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as required by law. I believe this pregnant pause was not just something that happened by law. I believe it was a God thing. That God planned it that way. For them, it was a time of waiting and resting. How fitting the Lord's death would usher in the Sabbath, the rest. God rested after his creative work. Now Jesus rests after his redemptive work. The Father rests, the Son rests, and the world rests. And God commands us to rest as well as we wait for his return. Many times in Scripture, beyond Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, waiting seems to be a part of God's rhythm. Abraham had to wait to have a child. Joseph had to wait to rule. David had to wait to be a king. In our lives, too, there are waiting times. That I believe that God strategically orchestrates those times in our lives when he causes us to rest and to wait. In our lives, this waiting time might look like unanswered prayers, might look like unfilled expectations. It might look like longing desires. In our human flesh, y'all, it fights against this tendency to wait. We're in a microwave society. We don't want to wait for anything. That we hate it when we have to live in the in-between place. But perhaps that's where God has you, exactly where he wants you and me. That I believe sometimes he wants us to slow our roll, to breathe, to woosah, to grieve if you have to, cry if you have to, but to refocus and know that the best is yet to come, but we have to wait and we have to rest. Some people are so uncomfortable, y'all, with silence. Some people don't want to wait on anything. We don't have time to rest, y'all. Have you ever noticed people, nobody in here, look at me, look around, that have to feel every waking hour doing something? Just busy, 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 busy. Oh, busy, busy, always doing something. That every minute has to be filled with noise. Look at me, don't look around. Do you know some people? It seems like every second they have to be talking. You in a room and you're just trying to watch and they talking. You want some peace and quiet. Look at me, don't look. And they just talking and talking. Shut up! I'm sorry, I grew up in a household, y'all, where we were just comfortable with silence. We We don't have to say anything. We're in the same room. We good, but y'all, those folk. For some people, silent time, y'all, they see it as wasted time, but it's not. Please understand, there are moments in your life, in my life, where God will orchestrate silence. That God orchestrates silence and rest too. We look for God in the active, in the noise, in the wind, in the earthquake, in the fire. But sometimes you're going to find God in that still, small voice. In those moments, I believe God is saying, listen, just lean in. Listen. And maybe God is saying to you and to me, sit down. Be quiet. Wait and rest. Rest in me and to know I've got you. Silent time can be a time of waiting and resting. And we need to know, too, that when God seems silent in our lives, God is still working when life looks finished. When life looks totally done, life looks totally complete, like it's over. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus and placed him in this new tomb. To the disciples, it looked like the story was all over. That, it's not correct to say these days, but the large person sang. Somebody gonna get that in a minute. But Joseph's actions actually fulfilled prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53 and 9. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9 says this: he had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. It looked like it was finished, y'all, but God was still fulfilling his word. The prophecy was going forth. God was still at work. God is still working when life seems like it's finished. Y'all know the story in the book of Genesis. It's one of our favorite stories, the other Joseph, that he was sold into slavery, falsely accused, and then thrown into prison. For years, nothing seemed to change in his life, but God was just positioning Joseph, just like he does with us. He positioned Joseph to save nations during famine. And it was Joseph that later said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Listen, it's never over until God says it's over. And when the world around you and the enemy and things around you try to shut you up and seal you in, God can still open. God can still open doors. God can still make a way out of no way. God can still do anything but fail. The religious leaders, they sealed the tomb and stationed guards around it. I think about Daniel, y'all, in the Old Testament. That Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, not a lion's den, but many lions in a hole. He was thrown in there. And the Bible says the entrance was sealed. No one could take the stone. A stone was rolled up. No one could take the stone away. And it looked like it was done for Daniel. It was over. But during the night, God was at work. Yeah. It wasn't over. Yeah. Then God sent an angel to shut up the lion's mouths. Yeah. God opened the way for Daniel. I believe God can open a way for you and me. God made a way for Daniel to live and not become the lion's lunch. But I believe that God will make a way for you and for me if we would trust him. Just because things look like they're finished does not mean that they're finished. I said it before. It's never over until God says it's over. You never know what God is doing in your life. Maybe he's shaping you for the greatest masterpiece of your life. And some of us feel like, y'all, that doors in our life, and that they're sealed and they're shut. That no more opportunities are coming. That dreams won't come. Our dreams will fail. Their relationships will fail. But when God is at work, when God is in it, God will bring it to pass. God has the last word in everything. If God decides to open it, no stone can keep it closed. There's a story that's told of this young couple. The doctors told them that they could not have a baby. They would never have a baby. Just a few years later that the woman was expecting a child. They went to the doctor. The doctor said, I can't explain medicine. I can explain medicine, but I can't explain a miracle. What God is still in the miracle working business. I wish I had about three people on this side of the room that God is still in the miracle working business. I wish I had three people on this, that God is still in the miracle working business. That God can make a way out of no way. It's not finished in God till God says it's finished and it's over. God is still working when life seems finished. Silent time can be a time of waiting and resting. And finally, know this, God is working even in the silence. God is at work even in your silence. God is at work when it seems like he's saying nothing, he's doing nothing. God is at work. Saturday, y'all, was silent. No miracles, no sermons, no recorded words from Jesus. But silence does not mean necessarily inactivity. And again, we don't know all the specifics. We know there's not much recorded in the Bible about that Saturday, that middle day. We don't know a whole lot about what Jesus was up to, but I think the Bible gives us some proof of that, what he was doing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20 says this. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. It says he never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. That's good news. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only eight people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. What is this thing in a nutshell? So what seemed like it was silence on that Saturday, that Saturday, in earthly context, it was silent. Yeah. But in the spirit, in the cosmic realm, things were happening. Jesus was up to something. Jesus was proclaiming the gospel to the saints of old. Jesus was robbing the graveyard of death. Jesus was setting the captives free. Jesus gives victory in all situations. I finished until God said it's finished. So in life, sometimes the most important work happens where it seems like nothing has happened. In the place where nobody can see it. You plant seeds in the ground. You water those seeds, but you can't see those roots growing underground. And all of a sudden, you see a tall plant or a tree come up. A baby is developed in the womb for 9 months. You don't just see the baby, but the baby is developing. And when the mother comes to full time, the baby is delivered. Diamonds are formed deep beneath the earth, y'all, under intense pressure. Just because you can't see activity does not mean that there is no activity. Just because you cannot see God moving does not mean that God is not moving, that God is always up to something. Even in the Old Testament, you're between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Malachi and Matthew, we often refer to that as the intertestamental period, big word. And many theologians say that it was 400 years of silence. That there was no prophetic word that came from the prophets of the day. But yet during that time, God was still at work. That God was preparing the Roman road and the common Greek language to bring the gospel to people all around the world. God was at work. The silence does not mean the teacher left the room. It means the teacher is watching to see what the students learned. Some of us are in a silent season in our lives right now. God ain't saying nothing. I don't hear anything. God ain't saying nothing to me. What? I don't hear anything. But know something, that in your silence, God has not abandoned you. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Who knows? God may be strengthening your faith in this moment as you're waiting on him in that silent moment. God may be preparing you for something great, but wait on God. Yeah. In those silent moments, learn how to wait on God. I'm sure somebody wants to know. Y'all been waiting for this all. What's in this box? That say curiosity killed the cats. Y'all ain't heard nothing in this one. What's in this box? I want to know. It's sitting there and it's sealed. It's got the lock on it. It's quiet. Shake it. So I tell you what, let's open the box. Let's see what's inside the box. Y'all ready for it? Y'all? Dun, dun, drum roll, drum roll, drum roll, drum roll. Let's see if we get the box open. What's inside the box? Y'all see what's in there? The box is empty. You know why? Because you can't box Jesus in. The world tried to box him in, but they couldn't. Y'all, they put him in a courtroom, but they couldn't stop him from talking. They put him on a cross, but he kept on saving sinners. They put him in a tomb, y'all, but he got up 3 days later with all power in his hands. They tried to seal him in with the stone, post guards around, but he got up. Anybody believe he got up on that third day? That you cannot box Jesus in. They thought the grave would hold him, but the grave could not hold him. They thought that death would silence him, but death could not silence him. If the grave couldn't hold him, then guess what? Then your problems can't stop him. The pain in your life cannot defeat him. Listen, the things that you're going, it cannot limit what God can do in your life, in my life, because the same Jesus that walked out of the tomb is the same Jesus that will show up in your broken world, in your broken life, in your silence. He's the one that will move in your situation and on your behalf. Do you trust that and believe that today? So if you're here today and you're feeling like you're trapped, that your life is in a box, that everything is silent, that God is not speaking, that God is not, I have a message for you, that God is always on the move. God is always up to something. And if you can hang on to that and hold on to that, you ought to be able to give God some praise in the house today. This ain't your moment to sit down and to be quiet. This is the time to open up your mouth, throw back your head and say, God, I believe you. God, I trust you. God, you can do anything but fail. God, show up when you're ready to show up. God, I'm waiting on you. I'm resting in you. I'm hoping in you, God, knowing that you will bring me out and you will bring me through. Because you can't box Jesus in, that he's bigger than your box in my box. And we give God praise and glory today. And the church said amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen. So how do we live out the silent Saturday seasons of our lives? When we say, we cry, God, speak to me. I'm waiting. Speak, God. But he's silent. How do we live out those silent Saturdays when everything around us seems locked up and locked down? That we look for answers and we cannot find them. We're listening and we're waiting, but nothing is there. So how do we lean into the wisdom of silence in a world that's always so noisy? Well, what are you doing about the situation? What are you up to? How are you trying to change it? Sometimes God just wants you to sit there and wait on him. So let me leave you with some practical things. Y'all, leave you with some practical things. First this, honor grief's process. Honor grief's process. We live in a world, y'all, where we're always trying to rush through grief. Get over it. Death of a loved one. Yep, had if you get over it. Yeah, I know he walked out of your life. Get over it. Move on. But you're grieving. You're hurting. So honor grief's process. Rather than trying to rush through the pain, give it space. Give it the time that it needs. Sit in it. Let it marinate. Yeah. Cry if you have to cry. Yeah. Honor grief's process. Then embrace the questions. Let uncertainty be a doorway to the deeper faith, to a deeper faith than a threat to you. Yeah, in the silent moments, we have questions, y'all. All of these questions, all these questions. Let the questions flow. You might get some answers, you might not. So embrace them, but don't see them as a threat. In due time, God will answer what questions he wants to answer. There's a passage of scripture I love. It says, in that day, we will have no more questions. That we trust God so much that we don't question God. We simply trust God. Yeah. And then practice active waiting. So in the Bible, in this story, so what are these women doing? They're preparing spices. And so they do what they can in the moment as they're waiting to go out and to anoint Jesus' body. They're doing something. Practice active waiting. What can you be doing in the silent moments? What might God require of you to do in those silent moments? And then look for hidden growth. Remember that what appears dormant may quietly be transforming. Look for the small changes. You're looking at, but you don't see any. Keep on looking. Look through the eyes of faith and see how God can begin to start transforming things in small ways. Yeah. It's not changing fast, but I see the small ways that God is, and I celebrate those small changes. Yeah. I celebrate the small victories. Yeah. Look for the small changes. And then lastly, hold space for others. How about this? How about sitting alone with somebody else that's experienced their own silent Saturday, where their life seems locked up and everything? How about sitting alongside of them without trying to rush them to resurrection? Sit in the silent Saturday with them and let them know that everything is going to be all right. If you're here today and life is silent, maybe you're in the waiting room of life. As you're waiting to see what will happen with a child. As you're waiting for your children to perhaps come to a saving relationship with Jesus. As you're waiting for this or that to happen in your life, and you've been waiting for a long time. You've been waiting a long time. You've been crying and praying. You've been waiting, but it's been silent. How about this? Let's just trust God. And believe that God hears us. And God knows. And right there in the silence, God is right beside you. Say, my child, I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. Don't worry, I got you. I got you. It looks bad, but I got you. It's quiet, but I got you. I'm with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. When life goes silent, simply trust. Trust God. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Can we give God praise in the house today? Give him praise in the house today. And the church said, amen. God is able. I can't get beyond it. God is able. Don't move out of God's time. Don't move out of his time. His timing. Don't move. Sit there. Stay there. Don't move. That's a word for somebody. Don't move. Stop squirming. Can you just woosah? Can you just rest? Rest in his presence. Rest in his arms. Rest in his joy. Rest in his favor. Just rest and wait on God. It's time to give, y'all. It's time to give. That's the word for today. It's time to give. Oh, I forgot. Hold on. The invitation. Wait a minute. Slow your roll. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word today. That there are moments in our lives when life seems to go silent. God, we're looking for a word from you, but there seems to be no word. We're looking for you to move in our lives, but it seems like you're not moving. Just like a dead Jesus in the grave, our circumstances seem dead, oh God. Father, just as you gave life to the Son, you give life to us through the Son. And our situations will change in due time if we would simply wait on you. We can wait in the silence and trust you. And Father, in this moment, we pray for those that may be here today that aren't in a saving relationship with Jesus. That maybe someone's looking at their life right now and their life looks locked down and locked up and nothing is moving, nothing is flowing, and they're wondering. God, speak to a heart right now to let them know that everything starts with a relationship with Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak to hearts right now. We all admit that we've sinned and fallen short of your glory. That there's none righteous, no, not one. That none of us have it all together. Without you, Jesus, we're simply wretches undone. But we confess you, Jesus, this morning in this moment as Lord and Savior of our lives. We believe, Father, that you raised Jesus from the dead. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And Lord, we know that settles it. So speak to hearts right now. By the power of your Spirit, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, know that he wants to save you, that he's able to save to the utmost all that come to him through Jesus. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. Won't you come today? Don't wait. The old folks used to say, come while the blood is still running warm in your veins. The only prerequisite for dying is actually living. You don't have to be old to leave this place. But when you leave here, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Question mark. But when you have a relationship with Jesus, that question mark can be erased. That you'll spend eternity with him. So if you're here today and you have questions, listen, our ushers are standing with their hands extended. You can go across the hallway, meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll answer any questions that you have. If you're here and you want to give your heart, as we say, give your life to Jesus, you can do that today. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Surrender yourself to him. If you're a born-again believer, listen, but you're not connected with a local church somewhere, you can do that today. Ushers are standing again. Follow them across the hallway. Again, we'll gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. Would there be one?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.